This is New Media B on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Kayla Sedato.
And I'm Anthony Moyet. We have media news for you this week from all over the world.
From Tibet.
How are Tibetans in China using social media to protest the COVID lockdown? And what is the government doing about these protests?
From China.
Why is the government of China hiring social media influencers from ethnic minorities? Who are they trying to influence?
From Nicaragua.
How important is the internet in Nicaragua? Why is Facebook so popular? Is Facebook a political platform for President Daniel Ortega? Can Ortega rule the internet in Nicaragua?
From Turkey.
Is there still press freedom in Turkey? Is there a new law to combat disinformation? Is this law being used against reporters? What is life like for journalists in Turkey?
From China.
The government is cracking down on online comments. Can the censors control conversation in the comment sections of the Chinese internet? Why do comments need to be censored according to the Chinese government?
From the internet. Have you heard of the International Telecommunications Union?
What is the ITU? How does it regulate the internet? Who runs it? Does the ITU make the rules for the internet?
From Asia.
The competition for streaming viewers in Asia is heating up. How can big streaming platforms increase their market share? What kind of content will attract the most subscribers? Why is Disney Plus looking for Asian content creators?
From Canada.
What's on TV in Canada? What are the most popular shows and networks? Is television in Canada different than American TV?
All this and more coming up on the OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
The latest news from China is about the outbreak of the COVID lockdown protests. Citizens in the streets and online are protesting against the very strict COVID lockdown policy imposed by the government of China. They are recording videos of these protests and sharing them online on social media. Joanna Vizicelli has report about these protests in the Tibetan region of China. How are the protesters using their phones and social media to protest? Joanna, what are these protests in Tibet about?
So the protests in Tibet are about the COVID-19 lockdowns. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, China has heavily restricted its people, and as a region of China, Tibet has also faced these restrictions. In recent weeks, Tibet has allegedly seen a rise in COVID-19 cases, leading to a three-month isolation and protests. According to the Hong Kong Free Press, the zero COVID policy restrictions have prompted rare protests in cities such as Shenzhen and Shanghai, and many, including in Lhasa, have complained of food shortages and poor conditions in mass quarantine facilities.
What did people post on social media about the protests?
Tibetans who witnessed the protests posted videos on social media that showed hundreds marching in the streets and demanding to go home. The Tibetan Review reported that the videos on social media showed the parliamentary People's Armed Police Force personnel trying to stop the protests but did not report violence or arrests. Business Standard, on the other hand, reported 200 detentions of reporters. The Hong Kong Free Press said a video showed police vans and officers carrying riot shields stationed. Radio Free Asia tweeted that sources said Tibetan protesters warned Chinese officials against setting off a fire if COVID restrictions are not lifted. A Twitter account with the username @TibetCollective posted a thread of protest content to spread awareness. These videos showed commotion between protesters and officers and also showed large groups of demonstrators.
So what role does social media play in spreading knowledge about the protests?
So social media spreads the messages of the protesters to those in Tibet who didn't necessarily get to witness the protests. One Lhasa resident, Ms. Han, said that although she didn't see the protests in person, she saw the content on social media about the protests. According to the BBC, Ms. Han commented on the protests she saw on social media, saying, "People are locked at home every day and life is so hard. Prices in Lhasa are now so high and landlords are chasing people for rent. People were asking for a solution, if they might be able to leave."
How do officials in Tibet censor social media in the region?
So officials in Tibet censor social media very heavily in the region. Recent protest content was shared on the Chinese application Douyin, but faced censorship. As a result, photos and videos were forced to be reposted on Twitter using likely virtual private networks, which are VPNs. After China invaded and gained control of Tibet over 70 years ago, the citizens have experienced anything but liberation. The Guardian reported that one researcher for Human Rights Watch China said there was only ever increasing brutal repression since that invasion. Tibetan voices continually face censorship. The Tibet Post is a news outlet formed by a group of Tibetan journalists in exile, according to Reporters Without Borders. And these journalists form the paper, the Tibet Post, in hopes of exposing the censorship that's in the region and the information control in the region. The Tibet Post reported that China's repressive policies in Tibet prevent free expression, subjecting the Tibetan people to severe persecution, genocide, inhuman torture, harsh imprisonment, and extrajudicial massacres. Since President Xi Jinping gained power in 2013 in China, press freedom continues to decline in Tibet. Media in Tibet remains filled with propaganda from the Chinese Communist Party. The Tibet Post also explained that officials engage in buying Western journalists and using Western media and social networks internationally to manipulate information, suppress any growing dissent, and develop propaganda activities by brainwashing the population. As protests emerge and spread on social media, it will be interesting to see if social media can break through the censorship in Tibet or if censorship will reign supreme. For New Media Beat, I'm Joanna Visicelli. Back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Joanna. China's harsh treatment of Uyghurs, people in the Xinjiang region of China, has attracted a lot of critical coverage in the news media outside of China. Stephanie Okenwa has been looking at how the government of China is trying to deal with all the negative coverage. The government is trying to use social media to tell a different story about ethnic minorities in China. Stephanie, what is the news that the government doesn't want the world to hear?
Since 2017, there have been reports of the Chinese government committing human rights violations against their minority groups.
Who are the Uyghurs?
They are a subsection of China's Muslim ethnic group. They speak their own language that is similar to Turkish, and they see themselves as culturally and ethnically close to Central Asian nations. And they make up most of the Xinjiang region with a population of over 12 million.
What atrocities have been committed against the Muslim groups of China?
China has been forcibly mass-sterilizing Muslim women, separating children from families, targeting Muslim religious figures, banning religious practices, and forcing over 1.2 million Uyghurs and other minority groups into detention centers that have been likened to concentration camps, including forced labor. Some foreign governments have imposed restrictions to address the forced labor, like the U.S. with its Uyghurs Forced Labor Protection Act, which essentially banned all imports from the region. Although groups like the World Uyghur Congress have also accused Muslim countries of condoning the abuses, as the UN Rights Council recently voted on whether or not to carry a motion against China but was rejected. Qatar, Indonesia, the United Arab Emirates, and Pakistan rejected the motion as to not risk alienating China.
So are these influencers gaining something by siding with the government, or are they being forced?
Well, influencers like Lee and Ollie Barrett, Best China Info, and Sabira Samat have gained millions of views and followers on sites like YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and have been funded by the government's multi-channel media networks, or MCNs. It can also be seen that this content gains them commercial incentives, and they continue to make such content to avoid angering the MCNs that sponsor their channels.
Is China doing anything to rectify the situation?
China has just doubled down by denying and ignoring any accusations thrown at them. They've also started deleting videos posted on their platforms that claim human rights violations are occurring. China has also been accused of spreading fake news and propaganda into the world in order to try and bury the topic. For New Media Beat, I'm Stephanie Okenwa. Back to you, Anthony.
Thank you, Stephanie.
My co-host, Anthony Moyet, is on the Nicaraguan Media Beat. This week, he has a report about the internet and social media in Nicaragua. Just how connected are the people of Nicaragua? Does everyone have high-speed connections and mobile phones? Which are the most popular platforms? What about government control of the internet? The government of Daniel Ortega has strict rules for the media. Anthony, how important is the internet of Nicaragua?
While internet penetration is very low, the internet is very important in Nicaragua. Social networks are the only place people can protest the Ortega government. Social media such as Twitter, Facebook, these are places for people to get their news other than TV, radio, and newspapers. The best way to understand this is to look at a social media platform such as Facebook.
Do Nicaraguans get their news from Facebook?
I'm glad you asked, Kayla, because this is a very important question. You see, Facebook is the most used social media in Nicaragua, right? So Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, these are all tiny compared to how gigantic Facebook is. Okay, so what's very important about Facebook to the Nicaraguan people is that Ortega can't control Facebook, right? So this is a way for people to get around the censorship. So when people think the TV, newspapers, or radio is being censored, Facebook is an escape from media censorship.
Wow, interesting. So is President Daniel Ortega concerned with who has access to the internet?
Okay, this is a good question. So what Daniel Ortega is most concerned with is radio, TV, and newspapers. Okay? All right? This is because people are using these media sources the most. The vast majority of people in Nicaragua don't have access to the internet. Therefore, they're not on Facebook, right? But we need to acknowledge that there are people who have access to the internet and Facebook. And who are these people? It's the people who can afford it, who can afford buying a cell phone, for example, and accessing Facebook via the internet from their cell phone. Now, it becomes more of a concern for the Ortega regime because this small number of Nicaraguans on the internet and Facebook are the upper and middle class who Ortega needs. So while less concerned about the internet compared to TV and radio, Ortega is concerned about the TV, about the internet, and needs to pay attention because these people who have access to the internet represent a potential source of opposition.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what does President Daniel Ortega think about the internet access?
So in order to have a developed nation and have a big economy, it needs to be connected to the world. But if it's connected to the world, it's dangerous for the Ortega regime. And this is because Daniel Ortega wants Nicaraguans to get their news from approved government sources. If there is an open internet and everybody has the internet streaming and watching media from the United States and other places, it's going to be hard to control. On the other hand, if the Ortega regime doesn't develop the internet, it's going to guarantee that this country stays in economic backwater. It's a lot to think about for the Daniel Ortega and the Ortega regime. And it will be interesting to see how this developing nation continues accessing the internet and how it will play out. For New Media Beat, I'm Anthony Moyet. Back to you, Kayla.
Thanks, Anthony. So let's talk about Turkey. Let's talk about journalists, disinformation, and press freedom in Turkey with Emma Kutis. Turkey has a government that pays close attention to the news media. Is there still an independent press? Can journalists do their jobs without worrying about the government? What is disinformation according to the Turkish authorities? Is there a new anti-disinformation law in Turkey that has some journalists worried? Emma, what is this new law and why are some journalists concerned about the law? What is it like to be a journalist in Turkey?
Turkey has more journalists behind bars than any other country in the world. Authorities associate journalism with terrorism. When journalists are arrested, the system is usually unpredictable. Conditions worsen every day for Turkish journalists.
What is the purpose of the new disinformation press law in Turkey?
There has been the ratification of an anti-disinformation law that sentenced people up to 3 years in prison. It contains many provisions intended to rein in social media. People fear that restrictions will limit the media's ability to provide coverage on upcoming news.
What are the reasons for the imprisonment of Turkish journalists?
Turkey's ranking in press freedom and freedom of expression indexes have been declining for years due to the disinformation press law that aims to criminalize the spread of misinformation that's defined by the Turkish government. For New Media Beat, I'm Emma Kutsis. Back to you, Kayla.
Thanks, Emma. Can the government of China control online comments? What's the problem with the comments according to the censors? Can people comment freely on their favorite social media platforms in China? Is the government protecting the people or censoring dissent?
Let's talk about the internet in China. Alyssa Quadrini has a report about the government's recent efforts to censor online comments. Alyssa, what is the problem from the government's perspective? And why is this common censorship necessary according to the authorities?
So the censorship is necessary according to the authorities because there was the intention of monitoring online comments that may go against the government and any political news against the country.
And when did the media common censorship begin?
The restriction of media comments began later in the year of 2021 and early in the year 2022. The goal of this censorship had started with the intentions of monitoring online comments that are posted by the people of China. The idea behind this censorship, which was placed by the Cyberspace Administration of China, known as the CAC, was to have comments that are posted on media be pre-reviewed before being released in order to avoid any media comments that may be in relation to any politics and or unreleased news about the country and all.
How does this common censorship impact the population of China?
The people of China lost their freedom of speech when it comes to using social media. They are not allowed to post any of their opinions or feedback on any media posts, as it may be against the regulations of the censorship. This censorship impacts the people of China in a negative way, as they are at a loss of being able to share their thoughts and ideas, and they have the CAC monitoring their media use.
Which media platforms does the Chinese population use despite censorship?
The media platforms that Chinese population use despite the censorship are WeChat and Weibo. Even with all the restrictions, comments made on Weibo and WeChat are censored. And if this type of content is published and goes against the censorship, they are removed from the media site and can no longer be accessed. If comments made go against the censorship, they may face trouble such as being removed from the sites and or fines. For New Media Beat, I'm Alyssa Quattrini. Back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Alyssa. Who runs the global internet? Have you ever heard of the ITU? The ITU is an international organization that plays a key role in keeping the internet free and open to the world. They set the standards and protocols for international communications. My co-host, Kayla Sedetto, has been looking at this. Kayla, what is the full name of the ITU, and what does it have to do with the internet?
So that's a really good question. So the ITU is very important. The ITU stands for International Telecommunication Union. The ITU is important for settling international standards for open media, but it cannot control Russia nor China. China and Russia are important members who have strong ideas about internet governance and national self-government. The internet is supposed to always be an open domain for everyone for various reasons, such as simply communicating via text, or phone call, email, staying up to date with new news, or simply just seeing what's new on social media, etc.
Can the ITU stop such powerful countries from censoring their internet?
So over the years, the two countries, China and Russia, have really tightened down on internet management. Analyst Justin Sherman and his partner from Atlanta Council have stated they are pushing for a state-controlled vision of internet governance, and both of them have long wish to see the United Nations play a central role in the management of the internet. The results for the election were in favor of ensuring the people in these countries the freedom from censorship. Some worry about if the ITU has more work to make sure that this stays permanent and won't be taken away from the innocent people.
So does the ITU have an enforcement mechanism?
So since the ITU is responsible for enforcing media protocols to broaden multimedia technology and searches, I'm not 100% certain if the ITU could solely enforce the changes said. Maybe no enforcement mechanisms exist in the case of noncompliance.
Are China and Russia bound to follow the ITU protocols?
So it's a complicated question. The ITU elections determine who influences policies and regulations. China and Russia are important members who have very strong ideas about internet governance and national sovereignty. The two presidents in those two powerhouse of countries are very stubborn and used to media laws going their way. So according to the CFR, a website online, they said China and Russia share the desire to curb the United States' power and challenge its hegemony. Russia has used force while China has worked to compete with the United States. China should be bound to follow said protocols, but there is nothing set in place to necessarily stop them.
That's interesting.
According to Freedom House, they claim global internet freedom has declined for the 12th consecutive year. For New Media B, I'm Kayla Sedato. Back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Kayla. Let's talk about streaming. Streaming services are a big business. There's a fierce global competition to sign up new subscribers to watch streaming content. Asia is a growing market where all the major streaming services are fighting to attract viewers. One of the major streaming platforms is Disney Plus. The Disney Corporation is a global giant that is always looking for new audiences and markets for their entertainment content. Why is Disney Plus looking for audiences in Asia? What does Disney Plus need to do to attract new viewers in Asian markets?
Streaming media is a growing industry in every part of the world. The global streaming market is booming as more people come online and can connect to streaming services. The competition for this new audience is fierce. The streaming giants are trying to reach new markets. What do they want to watch? Which platforms will they subscribe to? Jada Turner has a report about one major competitor for the Asian streaming market is changing who creates the content for their streaming audiences in Asia. Jada, your report is about Disney Plus and how it is trying to reach audiences in Asia. So why is Disney looking for content creators in Asia?
Well, Disney is trying to compete with its competitors. Currently, its biggest competitor is Netflix, and Netflix Korean show, The Squid Games, is Netflix's most watched show. Reportedly, it earned 1.65 billion hours worth of watch time in only 28 days of its release.
So how does Disney plan to keep content authentic to Asia, though?
Disney plans to keep the content authentic by not only working with local producers, but they're building offices in these places, and they've hired Jessica Cam Eagle as head of content in Asia. And she stated that the company looks forward to collaborating with Asian creatives. For New Media Beak, I am Jada Turner. Back to you, Kayla.
Thanks, Jada. Kasim Jewsbury is here in Studio A to talk about television in Canada. What's on TV in Canada? How is Canadian TV different than American TV? What are the most popular shows and networks? Kasim, can you give us an introduction to television north of the border? Do Canadians watch the same shows we do?
Well, Kayla, our northern neighbors do love their TV just as much as we do. Canada has a booming television industry with shows from other nations that gain popularity, as well as their own original shows and films that gain global attention.
Okay. What are some of the most popular Canadian television stations and shows?
Well, Canada's most popular television channel in 2020, according to Newswire.Canada, was CTV. This channel was home to the number one drama series, The Good Doctor, the number one comedy, Young Sheldon, and the number one Canadian-based series, Transplant.
Wow. So what are some of the restrictions and censorship laws in Canada for television?
Well, similar to the United States agency, the FCC, the Canadian Radio Television Telecommunications Commission was created to supervise and regulate telecommunication carriers. Canadian standards are pretty similar to American broadcasting standards, but the CRTC is more strict on nudity and foul language.
Wow. So what is the Canadian television industry's main center? For lack of better wording, what is Canada's Hollywood?
Vancouver, British Columbia would be the closest comparison to Hollywood, being that the majority of television in Canada is filmed there. But the runner-up would be Toronto.
So what Canadian programs have become popular in other countries?
Well, Canadian shows that gain global popularity include a plethora of animated shows as well as live action. Some of these shows include Johnny Test, Degrassi, the whole Total Drama series, 16, Braceface, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Maggie and the Ferocious Beast, Totally Spies, The Big Comfy Couch, Caillou, Cyber Chase, Smith's Creek, Working Moms, The Handmaid's Tale, The Flash, Vikings, and Flashpoint. For New Media Beat, I'm Kasim Jewsbury. Back to you, Kayla.
Thanks, Kasim. Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. Thanks to our producer, Michael Green, and engineer, Jacob Friedenberg. Many thanks to my co-host, Anthony Moyette.
Many thanks to you, Kayla. Today we heard from Kasim Jewsbury, Emma Koutsis, Anthony Moyette, myself, Stephanie Okenwa, Alyssa Quadrini, Kayla Sedetto, Jada Turner, and Joanna Visicelli.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.